Good morning. Today's Daf in Baba Kama Chav Ches. We're in Chav Zayin Amud Beis, and we are beginning towards the bottom of the Amud, and the first half of today's Daf is going to be covering just one and only one topic, whether or not a person can take the law into his own hands. Sounds controversial. It is controversial. It's a machlokas in the Gemara, whether you can or cannot. Even after the Gemara, the Rishonim debate this even further. Okay, this is a really big topic. Obviously, the Daf Yomi, we're going to be scratching the surface. That's about it. But nevertheless, though, it's a good scratch. Amud Beis, we go back to Nezakin, right? Back to the third parak of Baba Kama, and we go over the basics regarding what happens in various examples of Nezek. Okay, but that's the Amud Beis. When we get there, we will get there. Okay, how did we get here? We're in Chav Zayin Amud Beis, we're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting with the words De'itmar. And how did we get here? So yesterday, the Gemara had a case. It wasn't clear at first what the case was, but then afterwards there was clarity. What happened was is that we had a partnership. Me and my friend had a partnership, and we had a pit. The pit collected water, and we agreed that I'd be collecting the water on the odd days. Even days are going to be his. And what happens is that he's now coming, and it's an odd day. It's my day, and he starts collecting water from the pit. And we had very clear terms of agreement, and he's violating the terms of agreement. So now, what am I going to do? I'm going to take him to court? Yeah, but meanwhile, today's my day, and that water's mine. And so the question was posed to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman says, you know what? You can take the law into your own hands. In other words, it's your day. That was the terms of the agreement. So Rav Nachman says, you can go ahead. You can beat him. You can beat him up. Okay. Generally speaking, I understand. In other words, we're not normally, you know, given very clear instructions of, you know, go for it. You know, be aggressive, but in other words, obviously, you know, everything in life is a balance, and obviously, over here, the side that you should be on is to protect yourself and to protect your rights. And it's you had an agreement, and it's yours, and you gotta stand up for yourself. De'itmar. Now, as we transition from yesterday's daf to today's daf, so just remember the story of Rav Nachman, and we go right into today. Rav Yehuda Amar Lo Avid Inishin Lanafshei, and Rav Nachman Amar Avid Inishin Lanafshei. And so over here, the Gemara presents it as a basic machlokas between Amoraim, where Rav Yehuda takes the position that you cannot take the law into your own hands, and Rav Nachman says you can. Now the Gemara immediately clarifies. Now if there's pseida, meaning if you're looking at what is real loss, real and present loss, like the example that we just cited at the end of yesterday's daf. In other words, if I don't do anything right now, he's coming on my day, taking water on my day, and we agree that this is my day. And if I don't do anything right now, I'm going to lose the water. In other words, that's unrecoverable. Now, I say that, by the way, knowing that if I go to court and, you know, and I prove my case and he's going to compensate me, I guess you can argue in those terms. But right now, there's a real and present loss that I'm looking at right now.
I think the water is used for irrigation, and that's a loss.
Okay. Oh, in other words, okay, it's not just the water, but in other words, the opportunity.
Right.
You're talking about opportunity lost. Okay, good. So Gemara says, good. So hey, chadik abseidu kol amal apligi David inishin l'nafshei. So if we're talking about a real loss, so then enachinami. So then everyone's going to be in agreement. There is no debate between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. Where there's not going to be a debate is where there's not going to be a real loss. In other words, right now, somebody's doing something wrong. And if I took him to court, so I get fully compensated, and there would be no loss. So Rav Yehuda Amar Lo Avid Inishdin Lafshei Dekem Delekap Seda Lezel Kame Dayane. So Rav Yehuda will tell you, look, in other words, his argument is there's no loss. We'll just go to court. Let's go to court. And Rav Nachman Amar Avid Inishdin Lafshei Kevin De Avdi Avid. Sorry, Kevin De Bedin Avid Lo Tarach. And Rav Nachman's counter argument is, look, right now I'm currently in the right. He's currently in the wrong. So why do we have to go to court? Meaning we need to go to court if we're not sure what the halacha is. Or I have a claim and he has a counterclaim. But if I'm right and he's wrong, so then why do we need to go to court? Okay, now, I certainly can see, just one thought, which I think everyone's thinking, I'm just going to speak it out. And that is, I could certainly see that according to Rav Nachman, in other words, isn't that always the case? Is that always the case? Meaning that if I'm litigating with somebody and I'm presenting my side, don't I feel like I'm right and he's wrong? I mean, it's right.
In this case, there is no.
Okay, fine. So, what? And it's hard. It's just hard. I'm just expressing the idea that it's difficult. That the Rav Nachman scenario in which, you know, I'm right and he's wrong, and why do we need to go to court when I know that I'm right and he's wrong? Okay, but
they had an agreement. So that's why
I understand that. That's why I really appreciated reviewing the story from yesterday, because the story from yesterday, it was very clear cut. In other words, we had terms of agreement. He's violating the terms of agreement. That's why.
Correct.
And Rav Nachman's discussing a case like that, which is really black and white, and there's really no gray area. Okay, Meitzav Rav Kahana. So good. So now, for the first part of today's daf, I know we're still in yesterday's daf, but as we're about to turn the page, so in the first part of today's daf, all we're going to be doing for the Amud Aleph of Chav Ches Amud Aleph in Baba Kama is we're going to be litigating this very point of whether or not we need litigation. Okay, thank you. I worked hard on the alliteration. So do we have to court? Do we have to go to court? Do we not have to go to court? Or can I just simply take what's properly mine? And according to Rav Nachman, not just take what's properly mine, but even if it means that, you know, in other words, I got to use a little physical force or, you know, intimidate or use a little bit of physical force, that would be fine, according to Rav Nachman. And what the Gemara now is going to be doing for the remainder of today's Amud Aleph, first half of today's Daf, which of these positions it seems to be more correct. So Meza Rav Kahana, so Rav Kahana now is on the attack. He's attacking Rav Yehuda based on a Braisa. Ben Bag Bagomer, Al Tikanas Lechatzer Chavera, Litol Shalcha Shalom Bershus. So somebody has something that's rightfully yours. So Ben Bagbag says, here's what you're not going to do. What you're not going to do is you're not going to go into his house and take it. Because going into his house is going to look like a ganav, and it's, in other words, and to give off an appearance like that, even though you're in the right, no good. Oh, okay, good. So that's not what you're going to do. Oh, but Ben Bagbag says, I'll tell you what you do. And that is that you'll take the guy and you'll punch him right in the mouth. So, and knock out a tooth or two. So write the Shavur Chinov. Okay, so you punch him in the mouth if necessary. Okay, good. So, and Amarlo, Shalini Notel. Meaning that's rightfully mine, it belongs to me, so no, give it to me. Okay. So in the Ben Bagbag, in other words, a little bit of moderation. But within his moderation, it certainly sounds like Rav Nachman. So the Gemara, to which the Gemara says, Amarle. So now Rav Yehuda says to Rav Kahana, obviously, this is clearly against the sheet of Rav Yehuda. So imach. So ben bagba yichidahi upliga rabban alaha. So Rav Yehuda shrugs his shoulder and says, "That's not a kash against me." Meaning, look at the brisa. Look at the beginning of the brisa. The beginning of the brisa doesn't say that this is shitas chachamim. It says ben bagba gomer. This is the opinion of one tana, which would now indicate that not everyone's in agreement with that. And I would argue that the chachamim don't agree. Okay, next. Rabbi Yanai, Amar, my Shvor Shinav Bedin. Another answer the Gemara gives, Rabbi Yanai in defense of Rabbi Yehuda, and that is when the Braisa says that you break his teeth, what the Braisa actually means is, you're not going to literally break his teeth, it's a metaphor. And the metaphor is that what you're going to do is that you're going to break his teeth, i.e. with arguments. And you're going to take him to court, but it doesn't mean that you're actually physically going to break his teeth. Right? I think about the Seder night, right? With the Chacham and the Rasha. And by the Rasha, it says, Av, ha-ke ishinav, right? The Torah means that literally you have the Rasha, you're going to punch him in the mouth. In other words, no, probably, right? I'm suggesting simple pshat is that, in other words, you dismiss what he's saying, but you don't physically punch him. So over here, so in defense of Rav Yehuda, that's what the Braisa meant. The Braisa didn't mean you're physically going to hit him in the mouth. It means you're going to argue with him. So ihachi amor lo amrim lo mi baylei and shali ani no tell shalo ani no tell mi baylei. So the Gemara says, yeah, I don't really think that's the pshat in the Braisa. The Braisa is not talking about a metaphor, because if the Braisa was talking about a metaphor, where would we be right now? We wouldn't be one on one. We'd be in court, and so therefore, textually speaking, what's the language that should be used? Omrim lo, right? In other words, the dayanim are talking, and shalohu no tell. He's taking what's properly his because the dayanim are talking. Okay, so so textually speaking, it does not sound like we're in court. The easier and probably more correct way to read the Braisa is that literally it's face-to-face. It's a confrontation. And so therefore, it's difficult against Rav Yehuda. But we go back to the previous answer, which is the Rav Yehuda would say that it's a shitas yachid. Okay, atashma. Here we go now with another Braisa. Shor sha'ala agabe chaver lahargo. Okay, so somebody's animal is just getting incredibly aggressive with my animal. And launches itself on top of my animal in order to kill my animal. Okay, so in other words, our animals are now in a fight, and if I don't do anything right now, so my animal's going to die. and I'm going to lose. Well, I'll hold on that point for just a moment. We're going to come back to what the potential loss is. Obviously, that's an important point. So now here's what I do. I don't physically manipulate the aggressive animal. The aggressive animal is on the top. What I do is I just simply take my animal, which is underneath, and I pull him out of the fight. Now the animal, which was on the top, now falls to the ground and dies. Okay. But, so even though I intervened, I didn't physically manipulate the animal that's above. And what is my liability? I have zero liability. In other words, because all I was doing was just simply saving my animal. Okay. Now, my love, b'mu'a d'leka p'seidam. Okay, now, here we begin with the speculation. Meaning, what was I looking at in terms of loss? If the aggressive animal was a mu'ad, so then what would I be losing? Nothing. Why? Because mu'ad pays. Nezek shalim, min ha'aliyah. I would have gotten fully compensated for the loss of my animal. So over here, presumably, we're talking about where they were looking at zero loss, and yet I can physically intervene. In other words, physically intervene, by the way, meaning I can pull my animal out of it. So doesn't this now prove the position of Rav Nachman of Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshei? So the Gemara says, lo, Tam Dika Pseida. So the Gemara says, now, in other words, maybe what we're talking about was the aggressive animal was a Tom. Now, if that were true, now I'm looking at loss. Because what do we know by Tom? We all know that by Tom, the damages I would have gotten compensated is only half the damages. Chatzi Nezek. Who's paying the other half? That would have been me. That's a real loss. Right? Phil, this is such a good example of like real pseida. In other words, I would not have received full compensation. And I would have had to pay the other half. And yet, not yet. And what Rav Yehuda will tell you is that now we're talking about a case of pseida. In this case, and specifically only in this case, can I go ahead and intervene? So Yahya Masiya for the Gemara says, yeah, but I find that to be unbelievably unlikely. Why? Because Dachalel Yon Chayav Vibatama my Chayav. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. The Braisa then gives a contrasting din, which is that if I push the aggressive animal, so and the animal dies, so now I'm going to be liable. Why? Because I actively, physically harmed another person's animal. Now, if we're talking about a tom, so why would I be chayev? Meaning that over here I'm looking at loss, and since I'm looking at loss, so should, in other words, shouldn't I be able to save my assets? So the Gemara says, no, shayel lo shamta v'lo shamta. The Gemara says, no. The reason why you'd be chayiv is because you had an alternative, meaning that you could have done one of two things. Either I could have pulled my animal underneath. Alternatively, I could have pushed the aggressive animal. So one would have been more passive than active. Passive and active over here, I'm using these terms literally. In other words, am I pulling my animal underneath so I'm not physically manipulating the aggressive animal? That's passive. Masha'in came up, pushing the animal from the top, that's more active. And since I could have done one of the two, and either one of them would have been fine in terms of saving my animal, so then what I should have done is I should have pulled my animal out as opposed to pushing the animal from the top. Okay. But parenthetically, by the way, you look at the Rambam when he cites these halachas, the Rambam writes that if the only way I could have saved my animal is by pushing the animal on the top. So the Rambam says, obviously, you have every right to push the animal from the top. Anyway, so from this brisa, we do not have definitive proof to Rav Nachman. At first, it seemed to be a very good proof to Rav Nachman. The Gemara says, nah, it's not. So Tashma, Hamamal Chatzah Chaver Kadiyam V'Kadi Shemen. Bal Chatzah Meshaber V'Yotzei, Meshaber V'Nichnas. So, here, somebody fills my courtyard with jugs. Okay, so what's going on over here? I wake up in the morning, I open the door to my house, to my front courtyard, filled with jugs. Like, what is happening? So now, the owner of the chatzer can basically say, yeah, I'll tell you what's going to happen. I'm gonna walk through my courtyard, and if I have to break jugs in order to walk, so be it. Meaning, who put jugs in my courtyard? They had no business doing that. So, Mishaber V'Yotzei, Mishaber V'Nichnas. I can go break jugs. Okay, certainly sounds like a person can take the law into his own hands. Okay, just wondering out loud, what's the pseida over here? Meaning, well, I guess that's the point. Meaning, over here, there's no actual pseida, and yet you're allowed to break. So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Meshabav Yosel Abeizdin, Meshabav Nichnas, Lahav Yisuchu Yosav. Okay. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know how we could read the Braisa? We'll read the Braisa in which is that I'll break the jugs, but then what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to go to court. In other words, then what I'll do is I'll then prove in the court that I have every right to do so. But in other words, but the Braisa could read that I have the right to exit my house and I do have the right to break. But in other words, but then we're going to go to court just to make my case. Okay. So once again, not a definitive proof that of it in a shinul and of shay. Tashma minayin lenirza shekalu yamav v'rabba mesarv balatzeis v'chavavasa b'chabura shupato tamalamar v'lo sichu kofer lashuv. And now the Gemara is going to darshan lo sichu kofer lashav. Okay, this case is fantastic. So I have an Eved Ivri and he opted to stay with me. So after 6 years of working for me, so now he said, you know what? Let's pierce my ear. I want to be here and I'm going to stay till Yovo. Good. And that's what he does. He elects to stay till Yovo. Yovo comes. I'm only saying this not totally seriously, but 50 years later. Now, it's not necessarily, but in other words, a long time later. So he's been with me for a really long time. And now I say to him, look, it's Yovo. You know what you do now? Now you go. You go.
It could be 7 years.
And well, he's a Nirtza.
I know, but it could be 7 years.
You're right. You're good. So now I say to him, you can go. And he's looking at me, he's like, want to stay? So, but like, you know, like any extended house guest, you know, in other words, it's time for you to go. I'm really sorry. So, and he's being stubborn, he's being obstinate. So, Chovel. So what you do is that you'll get a little bit rough with him. And not only that, not just a little bit rough. So also b'chabura. So literally, you hurt him, right? So you did bodily damage to him, and the Braisa says you're putter. Okay, in other words, it's what you had to do. So over here, once again, this is another proof of Rav Nachman, right? Every one of these proofs, at its face value, seems to be siding with Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says no. So the Gemara says no. What the Braisa is describing over here is that it's not that just he's being reluctant and obstinate. In other words, on top of that, also you caught him stealing. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Ad ha'ina lo gavna v'hashaganav, meaning, wait 1 second. At this point in time now, he's starting to steal, meaning he's been a loyal Eved to you all these years, and now he decided that he's going to start stealing. The Gemara says, yeah, actually, yes. Ad ha'ina havai masa derabi aleh, hashalai salam masa derabi aleh. So the Gemara says, it's very simple. Up until this point in time, he was your Eved. Granted, by the way, Eved Ivri, but in other words, he was your Eved. So in other words, the relationship was such that he was afraid to steal. But now after Yovel, free man. Free man who's living with you, he's getting a little too comfortable.
But isn't that one of the raps where the guy becomes an Eved Ivri in the first place? If he steals something, he cannot return it, becomes an Eved Ivri in the first place?
Right. In other words, if, I understand that.
So the guy was a thief to begin with. It's like nothing unusual.
Perfect. Okay, perfect. Right. But all these years, however, the Gemara is still making a psychological change between what happened while he's in Eved Ivri versus now. The Gemara says, Rav Nachman, he's a Gamar Be'avish, a Masala, Rabbi Shivcha, Kanan, Zadi, Nahe, Teravash, Yisura. And the Gemara gives another reason why, another explanation why, behind what's going on behind the Braisa. In other words, again, in the Braisa, Yovel comes, he's refusing to go, so now you can hit him in order to push him to leave. So again, so for Rav Nachman, there doesn't need to be any more explanation. According to Rav Nachman, Avad Inish Dinu Nafshe, person can take the law into his own hands. But if you're Rav Yehuda, you need an explanation. In other words, you need to justify why exactly are you beating him, physically beating him. What is that? So one explanation that we just went through is that, well, you caught him stealing. Okay. And then we explained why it is that up until now he wasn't stealing, now he's stealing. A second explanation that we just read in the Gemara is that, you know why you're allowed to hit him? I'll tell you why. Because up until this point in time, so he was shacking up. Okay? We all know this. We've gone over this time and again in the Daf. And that is an Eved Ivri, you're allowed to pair together with your Shivcha Kananis. The children are going to be Avadim, meaning, I know it's confusing, because it's the same term. The children are going to be a Eved Kanani, Shivcha Kananis, right? Boy or girl. And when he does go free, so now he no longer is married to her. I use the word marriage over here. This is in halacha. We get to say this. This is a very loose term of the word marriage. It's not a marriage. In other words, it's a union. So, right, shacking up, even though it's not, you know, it's not a legal term, but you understand that's what it is. It's an arrangement that the Torah allows. Now, for a free man, you are absolutely prohibited from being with a Shivcha Kananis. It's an issur in the Torah, which is exactly the point. meaning that once you get to Yovel, and now once he's a free man, so now, you know why you're allowed to hit him? Because right now, he really likes his wife, putting that in quotes, he really likes her, he wants to stay with her. And you're explaining to him, no. In other words, as an Eved Ivri, you were allowed, you had a heter. But now you're no longer an Eved Ivri, you're no longer allowed. And he's insisting, no, I'm going to stay with her. Ah, so now he's violating an Isser. When someone's violating an Isser, now you can mock an Oso. Now you have the right. Now I say you have the right, by the way, even here, I'm hedging a little bit, because really it's more Beis Din has the right. Meaning, right, a private citizen has the right to hit another person because he's violating an Isser. Generally, I thought no. Okay, so, but at least it's understandable how it is that he can get hit in defense of Rav Yehuda. Okay, Tashma, we are going to be doing one more of these, maybe two more. Okay, two more of these. Okay, we're going back to our Mishnah, the Mishnah we saw in yesterday's Daf, and that is that somebody leaves a jug in the Rishos HaRabim, you go and you trip on the jug, you break it, so you're going to be Pater. Time of the Nitkobo, HaShavar Chayav. And now the Gemara is Medayik in the Mishnah. If you trip and break it, so then you're going to be Pater. If you actively break it, you know the jug is there. And you're so upset, you're so angry. Who did this? Who left this in the Rishos HaRabim? And you go ahead and you break it. So the Diyuk in the Mishnah would be your Chayav. To which, and if that were true, that's difficult for Rav Nachman. What did you do? You took the law into your own hands. So the Gemara says, no. I'm Rav Zimnish made the Rava who adina filu shavra. And now this should sound familiar because we made this point yesterday. We get to make it again in today's daf. Chazara. And that is no. Maybe the Patur would be true whether you trip or even if you actively break it. You're going to be Patur. So why did the Mishnah give the example of tripping? Because tripping brings us to the next point of the Mishnah. V'hai diktani nitka dekabai lemisa seifa. Im huzik balabais chai benitzko. De dafka nifka aval shavar lo. De hu azik nafshay. So katani rashi resha nitka. The second point of our Mishnah is that what if you trip and you fall and you injure? So in other words, number one, you're putter from the damage because, again, that was somebody put a hazard in the Rishos HaRabim. So in other words, you are not going to be responsible for breaking that hazard. That's number one. Number two, what about the medical bill? So if you trip and you injure yourself, so he has to pay your medical bills. Good. That's what the Mishnah wanted to highlight. And specifically, if you trip and get injured. But what if you decide, you know what? I'm taking the law into my own hand. I'm breaking the barrel. And now in breaking the barrel actively, now you injure yourself. So on that, he doesn't pay your medical bills. Why? Because over there, the Gemara's argument is, you decided to take the law into your own hand. You decided to actively break it. Now in breaking it, you also broke a bone. You pulled something. In other words, you got some sort of injury. That's a you problem. In other words, you elected to do that. He's not going to pay your injuries. Okay. Tashma. The katzosas kapa. Okay. So now we're back in Parshas Kiseitse, and here we go. Two men are fighting. The wife of one of them intervenes. Now, she's a woman, so what is she going to do? She's going to physically break it up. She's going to try to. And the Torah describes where what she does is that she takes the other man and she grabs him. She grabs him in the private area. Okay? If this is the first time you're hearing this pasuk in the Torah, you're like, nah, that's not a pasuk in the Torah. Yes, it is. And the Torah says, and what do I do to the woman? Vekatzo says, kapa, which means that you cut off her hand. Okay, now, if this is the first time you're hearing this, you have to be thinking to yourself, nah, that can't be. The Torah doesn't say that. Yes, the Torah does. Okay, however, we know that there are two parts of the Torah. There's Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh. And so the Torah Shebichsav says you cut off her hand. However, our tradition tells us, the Torah Shebapeh says that, no, you don't cut off her hand. You know what you do? In other words, you assess the damage that was done both physically and emotionally. In other words, what's in halacha called boshes, right? She embarrassed him, and so therefore you pay for that. Now, what was she trying to do? She's trying to stop a fight. So my love, b'sheni yochel lahatzil al yedei davar acher. So in other words, and this is really the only way she could have stopped the fight. So, and yet, the Torah says she was not within her right to go ahead and to grab him. Okay? If what we're saying is correct, meaning the psukim are clear, but we don't know the context. And if we're contextualizing it correctly, so that means to say that she had no alternative, And yet, she didn't have the right to grab him. Now, if that's true, so then this is going to be a knock against Rav Nachman. Because Rav Nachman says a person can take the law into their own hands. So, lo, she yechol latziyah, he did have a acher. So the Gemara says, no, she could have stopped it some other way. Now, we're filling the blank, by the way. What else could she have done? Okay. In other words, this is where, I guess we have to, you know, there has to be more to the story. But what we're going to say is that there's another way in which she could have handled the situation. She didn't have to grab him. And so therefore, that's why she's going to be liable. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, well, if you're right, in other words, if there was another way to resolve the conflict and she didn't have to grab the guy, and if she does under those circumstances, she's going to be chayev. Which means now that if there was no other way to resolve the conflict and the only way for her to resolve is to grab the guy, she'd be pater. So I don't understand. Because what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the Braisa, and in the Braisa is going to give a contrasting scenario. Why would the Braisa have to go to another scenario? Stay right here. Meaning we could have two cases. Both cases, excuse me. In both cases, she grabs the guy. In one case, she's going to be chayv. In the other case, she's going to be pater. The Gemara asks exactly this question. The Braisa says, you know who's going to be exempt? Shliach Beis Din. Meaning if Beis Din tells the guy, hey, you need to come to court, and he's subpoenaed, or whatever instruction of Beis Din, and the guy refuses, a Shliach Beis Din now can go ahead and get physical with the guy. No. And any damage, physical or emotional, so he's going to be pater. So that's the contrasting case. The Shliach Beis Din would be pater. The Gemara wants to know, why did you have to move to Shliach Beis Din? Stay on point. A woman would be pater. When? When she had no other option. Stay on the case of the woman. So Hachinami Kamar, the Gemara says, yeah, but that's pretty much what the Braisa meant. You just didn't see that in the Braisa. Allow me to show you. Once she has no other recourse, she's trying to resolve conflict, she has no other option but to grab him, so then she's like a Shliach Beis Din. That's how the Braisa should read.
Self-appointed.
No. Okay.
And women cannot be shluchim anyway.
Right. So in other words, but in terms of, you're right, but in terms of the liability, she will be treated like Shliach Beis Din.
It shows that she can take the law into her own hands then?
But in this particular scenario. Tashma, Haresh Aisa, Derech HaRabim, Verus, Betoch Sadeu. Sorry, I miscounted. We have another one. Okay. There's a lot.
Keep going.
Okay, what I should have done going in is I should have counted how many riots we have. Okay, and so over here we're talking about, having easements, giving up easements, exchanging easements. Okay. So, what you have now is a firmly established a public pathway that goes through your property. Okay? And you've been allowing it now. I'm gonna dramatize. You've been allowing it for years. So, now you decide, you know what? Here's what I'll do. I will take back that pathway, and what I'll do is I'll replace it with another one. Okay, this is a Mishnah Baba Basra, obviously, because Baba Basra is real estate. And so over here, what I'm just going to do is I'm just going to slide over the easement to another area of my property.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I knew I would trigger him. I knew it. So Masha Nasa Nasan Vishalolo Higio. So the halacha is in Baba Basra tells us is that, look, whatever you seeded is now going to belong to the public. And what you tried to take back for yourself, you have no right to do that. So in other words, the easement that already is established, that is a well-established and non-reclaimable easement. And that which you now try to replace with, so that now is also belongs to the public as well. Okay, so it's a rough halacha, but that's the halacha. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If you're allowed to take the law into your own hands, which according to Rav Nachman you are, so in other words, why don't you just stand there at the front of your old easement with a shovel or some sort of weapon and say, hey, try to go over the old easement. Let's see how it goes. What do you want? You want a public pathway? I replaced it. I gave a new public pathway. Like, why aren't you allowed to do that? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Amar Rav Zvid Mishmei Derava Gzera Shem Yitin Lehem Derech HaKalton. Because the Gemara says, look, what are we concerned about? Meaning, what is behind this halacha in Baba Basra? It's very simple. In other words, you are thinking that I'm going to be replacing with an equivalent easement. Who knows? In other words, the pathway that's already established for the public is convenient and good. And you're going to replace it with something which is not going to be convenient and not going to be good.
Does that property become his real?
Huh?
If he shifts the path.
If he shifts the path, the Mishnah Baba Basra says is that the easement, the old easement is not his, does not become his, and the new easement now becomes public.
So if he creates a path at a different angle and gives himself more property, he's
But he cannot concede, in other words, he cannot reclaim an old easement. He can't. The
Mishnah Baba Basra. Making a new one. That's what
I'm saying. You're making a new one, and that new one now belongs to the public.
Yeah, so but it could also benefit him too, the way he depends on how he makes the path.
Okay, fine, well, fine. But in other words, but the point the Mishnah is making is that you can't exchange one for another. That's the point of the Mishnah. And Rav Ashi, Amar Kol Min Atzad Derech HaKaltonu. Rav Ashi is going to make the same point that Rav Masharshi does, but even more fundamentally. Meaning, you think that I'm giving a valid replacement, right? There's no such thing. There's no such thing because every pathway operates differently depending on your vantage point. Meaning, where are you coming from and where do you want to go? So you can't just simply say, oh, this is just as good. That's not true. In other words, every new easement, every new pathway is maybe convenient for one, but inconvenient for others. Right? Did I read that? Yeah. Krov lezer, chok lezer. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, okay, so then I don't understand. The Mishnah says that there's no exchange, so why not say, look, in other words, let me hold on to my old. I'm sorry, so you're telling me that I didn't gain my old one, so then let's just keep the old one, and the new one, let me reclaim the new one. So the, Mishum de Rav Yehuda, Dam Rav Yehuda, Meitzah Sheikh Zikob Rabbe Masul Kalkalo. So this brings us to a new rule, and that is that, Once we have an easement, even if it's new, but once the public uses it, now I'm just trying to be careful with my language over here. Shehechziko barabim, right? In other words, once the public has established it, used it, I'm not sure what the precise term is, but now it becomes a public. So in other words, it's unfortunate, but you didn't know this. In other words, you thought you were replacing easements. No, you can't reclaim an old easement. So if I'm not reclaiming the old easement, so then what about the new easement that I just created? Can I just take that back? No, you can't take that back as well. Okay. Tashma. This is going to be, and I'm going to say correctly, this is going to be our last one. And that is that a balabai is where? He leaves peya mitzad echer ubao anim and not lo mitzad acher zevze peya. So the Gemara says, so now the poor people are coming to your property in order to be able to take the from the produce of the corner of the field, which they have the right to do so. However, they got the wrong corner. So zev is their peah. So now both sides now are peah. Okay, a little bit unclear to me exactly how the poor people can go ahead and establish a different corner to be peah. Okay, there must be some sort. I'm assuming there's some sort of procedure to it, but I'm just admitting to everyone. I'm not sure how that works. So, but So the Gemara says, I don't understand. In other words, you're allowed to take the law into your own hand. You already established one corner of your field to be payah. So in other words, the Anim are deciding they're going to go to another corner. So why don't you just stand there and say, no, I'm rerouting you guys. And right, and not only just stand there, but stand there with a shovel. Right? Gentlemen, not this corner, that corner over there. So my zev is payah. So the Gemara says, no. So, the Gemara says that as far as the Braisa is concerned, so what the Braisa means is that the corner that you elected and you selected to be Peah, that's the corner. And can you reroute the Aniyam? Yes, you can. But the point of the Braisa is that if the Aniyam take from a different corner, so that which they take is going to be Pater from Maisa. Well, that's the halacha. The halacha is Kedetanya. Hamafkir's Kamav, Ishkin Baboker, Vatsar, Chai Beper, Devolos, Vashikha, Vapeah. Okay, so the any produce of yours that becomes hefker, so it's going to be patur min ha-maaser. It's chayav in other agricultural laws. I'm not going to go through each one of them right now. But in other words, but it will be patur from peyah, and that's the only point that the Brice is making. In other words, when the anim go to a different corner and you say, you know what, let him have it. So even though halachically it's not peyah, but it's hefker, and because it's hefker, it's going to be patur min ha-maaser. That's the only point the Brice was making. Ad Khan. That takes us to the first half of today's daf, and wow, it's really one sugya with so many different branches and brises that we quoted. Machlok is between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. Can a person take the law into his own hands when we're looking at real loss, real and present loss? So then the Gemara says, "Kule amelo pligi." There is no machlokus. You can take the law into your own hands, physically take back that which is yours. Okay, what if there is no real and present loss? In other words, but still, you're in the right, he's in the wrong. So can I take the law into my own hands? That's a machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. And what we did over the balance of the first half of today's daf, all of Chav Ches, Amud Aleph, and Baba Kama, litigated who seems to be more correct, which of the Mishnayos seemed to be more on team Rav Nachman, and which seemed to be on team Rav Yehuda. Gemara does not make resolution on this machlokes. Nishbar Kado. We're continuing. We're in Chav Ches Amud Aleph on the bottom. Mishbar Kado Brishos Rambam Vuklak Echad B'Mayim Oshalaka B'Charsis Chayev Rav Yehuda Amrim Miskavin Chayev B'Sheinu Miskavin Potter. Okay, so your jug breaks in the Brishos Rambam. Okay, so this is now similar to the first Mishnah of our third Perek, but over here now the jug breaks, and now there was water in the jug, and now there's a spill, right? Spill in aisle 3, but over here not aisle 3, spill in the Brishos Rambam. Now what happens is there's a huklak echad b'mayim. Someone slips on the water, and now he falls. Oh, shalaka b'charasis. Or the jug now, when it broke, so there's now glass everywhere. I know glass is, you know, a modern term. There's shards everywhere. And now what happens is that you damage yourself on the shards. So now the owner of that jug is going to be chayev for the injury that was created. Injury to you? Hold that thought. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a difference whether there's kavana, whether there's no kavana. Stay tuned. I'm not going to explain Rabbi Yehuda right now. We'll come back to explain Rabbi Yehuda a little bit later, maybe tomorrow. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, my Rav, Lo Shanu, Lo Shetinfo, Kelav, B'mayim, Avalhu, Atzmo, Potter, Karka, Olam, Hizkiso. Let's wrap our head around the opinion of Rav. Okay, the case is simple. The case is straightforward. In terms of liability, here it's going to get complicated. Someone had a jug in the Rishus Rabim. The jug broke. There's now water spilled. There's water spilled. You slipped on the water, and now damage was done to you and your clothing. So Rav tells us the following. On the clothing, so now whatever damage occurred to your clothing, let's say it was water, let's say it was wine, whatever, there's a dry clean bill, whatever damage there is to your clothing, the person, the owner of the jug, fully liable, fully responsible. For damages caused to you, No liability. I'm pausing for a moment, letting everyone digest that. That is difficult to understand. Okay, so let's explain. Why should there be a difference between your clothing and you? So the let's read on a little bit, and it'll become clear. Kiyam is the commentary Shmuel Amrli Michti. So now this halacha of Rav was told over to Shmuel. And Shmuel says, What? So Avna Vesakina Maso Bebar Lamanu. So if any hazard is left in the street, a stone, a knife, anything, any hazard in the street. So in other words, categorically, what does that fall under? It falls under the category of boar. And Kulanani Kari Bam Shur Velo Adam Chamor Velo Kalim. Now, when you have the category of boar, so what do we know? There's a patur of boar, the patur of Adam and Kalim. In other words, the Torah describes what happened in the pit. What happened is that an animal fell in the pit. Now, the Torah lists two animals that fell into the pit, right? O Sharo, O Chamoro. Either the ox or the mule fell into the pit. It could be any animal. So why does the Torah give two examples? Because the Torah is telling us two mi'utim. There are two exclusions, two exemptions. And that is that if a man falls into a pit, exemption. If a kli falls into a pit, exemption. Now, here's an important point. Now, within this exemption, we're going to make a distinction. Okay, and I know, I say it, it really, like, just go over this point numerous times because It's complicated, but once you get it, you got it. And that is that within these two exemptions, the difference between Adam and Caleb. Okay? By Adam, the exemption is only on wrongful death. But the exemption is not on damage. By Caleb, there's no distinction to be made. As Rashi points out over here, when it comes to a kli, when a kli breaks, that's the death of a kli. Okay. Meaning, by Caleb, there is no distinction. There's no difference whether it breaks or it dies, meaning both terms are synonymous when it comes to a kli. So the exemption by a kli is a full exemption. The exemption by an adam is only if the person dies, not if the person gets injured. Okay, now.
So the person.
Wait. I know you want to plug it in, so let's play this out now. Avalein ezikin chayav kelim paturim. So now, what Shmuel is bothered by is the following. Okay, so someone's jug was in the street. It broke. Now a water slip created by that broken jug, and now you fall. So now that water over there, that slick is a bore, and now that bore is going to be liable for now your what? In other words, your clothing. In other words, your clothing falls under the category of kalim. Your person, your body. Okay, in other words, if it's Nezek, then you should be Chayev. But in other words, according to Shmuel, I don't get it. Meaning, right, shouldn't you be Chayev on both? How can Rav make this distinction and Rav tell us that the water slick is going to create a liability for your clothing, but no liability for you? How does that distinction work? V'Rav, so the Gemara says, I'll tell you how the distinction is going to work. Because over here, what we're looking at is a really fundamental debate between Rav and Shmuel. Well, Rav will tell you the following. Of course, there are four categories of damages. And Bor is one of the four categories. But the Nezik of Bor is only when you were Mafkarit. Which means that what you did is you dug a pit in the Rishos HaRabim. And then you decide, you know what? I have nothing. You abandon it. I have nothing to do with it. So there, now the Torah says is that because you created the hazard in the Rishos HaRabim, so now you're going to be liable for any damages that occur. And I say any damages again. There are exemptions, but you're chayav for that liability. So in other words, if anything is going to be following and fall into the category of bor, I didn't really, that was punny. If anything falls into the category of bor. Okay, so it has to be something that you are not the owner of, i.e., if you retain ownership of that item, so it's not bor. Next step. If it's not bor, so but you created a hazard in the Rishos HaRabim, and now it's yours, so what is it? Sure. So it's sure. Exactly. Right? I'm not going to say Karen, by the way, because it's going to be full liability, but it's sure. Now, if it's not bor, it's going to be shore. So now follow. So the honey mila hechad afkarina vahechad al afkarina mamono.
Is that considered unusual to do damage by that?
That's right. Your point is well taken, but let's just assume right now that you have full liability. Okay, so now what comes out is the following. That according to Rav, okay, this is complicated. I know it's complicated. But according to Rav, here's the story. So someone had a barrel in the Rishos HaRabim, it broke, now created a water slick, and now you fall. The Mishnah tells us what? That on the damage that's caused to you, so that is going to be, the owner is not going to be liable. On your clothing, so there's going to be a liability. Why? What's the difference? So the Gemara is, so now the Gemara's explanation is like this. Because Rav's of the position that anything that you retained ownership of, the barrel owner retained ownership of the barrel. And as such now, so now it no longer falls under the category of bor, it falls under the category of shore. So now the clothing that got damaged, so he, in other words, the owner of the barrel, his property did damage to your clothing. So he's going to be fully liable. It would be categorically no different than his animal destroying your clothing. Now, Ben's point is good, by the way. In other words, within shore, is it Karen? Is it Shane? Is it? Okay. It's a good point, but for our purposes right now, let's assume Nezek Shalom. Fine. Then what about the bodily damage? In other words, I slipped, I fell. What about the bodily damage? Wait 1 second. Let me make this point because this is going to be tricky. So on the bodily damage, so exemption. Why? Because even though I slipped in the water, But what caused the actual physical damage? Impact with the ground. Okay? Now, we're in the world of Nezek right now, and so over here, all of us need to just think legally. I understand. It's not right. In other words, I only fell to the ground because of the water slip that he created. I get it. But right. But what actually caused the damage? The impact with the ground. So since the impact with the ground caused the damage, and who's the owner of the ground? Not him. So since the impact of the ground caused the damage, so therefore going to be Pater. That is how Rav is going to set up the Mishnah. Okay?
So according to Rav, the kli breaks and the spilled water in Rishus HaRabim, you're not mafkir.
Right. In other words, the Mishnah's case is where you're not mafkir. According to Shmuel, if you're a mafkir of the water, so now categorically goes from being a short to being a bore.
It's a hard okimta.
Correct.
It's spilled water, Rishus HaRabim.
Correct.
But does short apply to Rishus HaRabim?
So again, Rav will tell you yes. Rav will tell you that the model case of bore is where it's hefker. But if it's not hefker, it's not bore. Well, if it's not bore, it's got to be something. Good. So Rav will take it and shift it over to bore. Sorry. We'll take it and shift it over to shore.
Sure, but the shore in Rishon Rabbin is Karen.
Karen is. But I understand. It brings us to your point, by the way, which I acknowledge. It's a really good point. I agree.
So if you're a store owner and you clean the front of the store...
Hold it. No, that's not fair. In other words, we have enough to work with over here. Let's just start with the Gemara. Okay, good. It's a Rishus HaRabim.
But you dry it, can't leave it wet.
Okay, so with the.
Yeah, there you go, wet floor.
Okay.
In Spanish.
Okay, so. Okay, fine. We'll pause over here. We'll start tomorrow with Mesa Revoshia, and tomorrow's stuff is also going to be a little bit shorter. Anyway, let's quickly recap. Let's review. Okay, well, what we started with today is Avid Inish Dinul Nafshei, right? A really big sugya right here in Baba Kama on Chav Ches. Can you take the law into your own hands if there's Hefsed? Yes. If there's no Hefsed, Machlokus between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. Rav Yehuda says no, you cannot. And Rav Nachman says yes, you can. And even within that, by the way, just everyone understand that this is a daf, and we just scratched the surface. And even within that machlokus of Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda, the Rishonim discuss it even further. Right? In other words, I didn't talk about a rush. I didn't talk about the right. There's a Gra. There's a Rambam. There's many more levels we can go beyond the surface of the Gemara. All we did is just gain some familiarity. Good. Within that, over the course of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, what do we do? Mishnah after Mishnah, Braisa after Braisa. A lot of them supporting Rav Nachman, but some of them actually supporting Rav Yehuda. The Gemara does not resolve this machlokus between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. It remains a machlokus. Good. And then we started with the Amud Beis today, and we got onto the case of somebody's barrel breaking in the street, creating a slick right there in the street. You slip, you fall. The Mishnah says, damages to your clothing, he's liable. Damages to you, he's not liable. And what we're trying to do right now is wrap our head around, why in the world would he not be liable for damages done to me? In other words, isn't it a bore? And by bore, aren't you chai by nezek? So the answer is yes, but Rav will tell you, it's not a bore. It's a shore. Okay, and we tried to explain that, hopefully successfully, at least for now. Tomorrow we go back and we go into this machlokas of Rav and Shmuel.